All right. Hang on, let me. Have we got another headset somewhere? Any better?
Less crackling that time? Is that better? Good, there we go. Wonders of technology. Good, so Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. The word should appear behind me, but we're going to spend 2 weeks, actually, just to say up front, we're going to spend 2 weeks in this Bible passage because there's loads going on in here, and so we're going to come back to it next week at our family service, but let me read the whole of it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough." Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet: "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word. Anyone here a Weetabix fan? Yeah, 6 of you are about Weetabix fans. That's good. That's a solid start to a sermon, isn't it? That's going to connect with 6 people in this room. So anyway, regardless of whether you're a Weetabix, I mean, I can't even eat the stuff because I'm gluten-free. So I don't know why I'm waving a box of Weetabix around. But many of us, even though we don't like Weetabix perhaps, will know the Weetabix adverts, won't we? So the latest one, at least the one I've seen, starts in a submarine. You seen that advert? And there's this submarine, and the sirens are going off, woo, 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 and all the staff inside are running around frantically, and someone says to the captain, "Captain, we're surfacing." And the captain goes, "That's impossible. Why are we surfacing?" And as they get kind of hear this huge crash, and then they get up onto the surface and they have a look, what they see is this little girl on a beach with a fishing rod, and it's connected to the front of the submarine. And they're looking, and as they look at this little girl, and then the binoculars go down, they discover that in front of this little girl is a Weetabix. She's had her Weetabix in the morning and therefore has been set up with kind of super strength for the day to be able to kind of do things that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do, like pull a submarine out of the beach with a fish, or out of the sea with a fishing rod. And Weetabix call that the Weetabix advantage. Now, I don't know whether that's true advertising or not, whether you could actually pull a submarine out of the water, but they call it the Weetabix advantage. The idea is that if you have your Weetabix in the morning, you're set up for the day. You're set up to be strong. You're set up to be ready. There's nothing in the day that you cannot conquer if you have had your Weetabix. And anyone know the little catchphrase they say always at the end of the advert? Anyone know? Anyone? Brave enough? It's written on the side of the box if you want a clue. What does it say? Have you had yours? That's what I want to know. Have you had your Weetabix? Have you had your Weetabix to set you up for the day, to make you strong and ready? Six of you here have had your Weetabix. Well done. You're set up and ready for the day. Now, before you think I bought shares in Weetabix and you thought, well, do you know what, Nath? I came to listen to the Bible talk this morning, actually, not shares in Weetabix. Actually, this is why I want to take you there this morning, because I don't know about you, but as someone who follows Jesus, I would love, when I wake up in the morning, a kind of a spiritual Weetabix to give us that Weetabix advantage for every day that we face as followers of Jesus. I need something to help me through the day, every day. Why? Because my experience of being a follower of Jesus is where my life as someone who believes in the Lord Jesus and by God's grace believes in the Lord Jesus ends up mixing my life every day with those who don't believe those things. We mix our lives with people who live by a different agenda, who see the world through different glasses, who perhaps laugh at things that, because of the Holy Spirit's work in those of us who believe, we don't find those things so funny anymore. We live amongst people whose agendas are different, their spending's different, their priorities are different, their family values are different. And that can be hard work, and it takes a kind of a spiritual Weetabix, a spiritual Weetabix advantage in a day to get through that. We need something, don't we, to help us get through another day, when every day we rub up against evil and wrong that exists in our world. Not just the evil in our own hearts. I don't know if that's the bit that traumatizes you, but the evil that we encounter in the world around us. We need something to help us get through every day, when every day we might encounter people who are actually hostile to Jesus. Not just placid, but hostile to the idea of Jesus, to his teaching, to his people. All over this world, Christians are being persecuted, confronted, put in prison, even beaten, even lose their lives because they believe in Jesus. When our days feel like that, when my day feels like that, when your day, perhaps if you're following Jesus, feels like that, what do we need? Well, we need some kind of Weetabix at the start of a day, don't we? We need some kind of Weetabix advantage, a spiritual Weetabix to kind of strengthen us and get us through another day of following Jesus. And I want to say to you this morning that thankfully, that is what Jesus serves us up this morning in these stories, particularly the first of these stories that we've just read from the lips of Jesus. He kind of serves us up, as it were, a spiritual Weetabix that can give us the strength needed to get through another day as a follower of Jesus, when our experience is like the one I've just talked about. Here is a story that if we eat it, if we have ears to hear it, if we understand what Jesus is saying, if we consume it, it will give us that strength that we need. Now, conveniently, it's a story about wheat. It's about wheat and about weeds. And the reason that this story will strengthen us, if you look in your Bibles, chapter 13 and verse 24, the reason that this story will strengthen us is that it reveals to us something about the kingdom of heaven now, that the present experience of living as one of Jesus' followers now, and our experience of living in that kingdom in the future. So something now, something future. Through this story, which is about wheat and weeds, Jesus is revealing something to us. Look at verse 24. Look at how it starts. Jesus told them another parable. Now, parables, if you were with us last week, are kind of stories with a meaning that's tucked below the surface. So you have to dig a bit in these stories to understand what they're about. And if you just flick over to the middle of our reading, look at verse 34. Jesus, we're told this about parables. Matthew, the writer, interjects and he says, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowds in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Jesus is using stories, and last week we learned from Jonathan that those stories both conceal, they hide truths, but they also reveal truth. And the emphasis in our story today, or the reading we've had, is that the stories Jesus tells reveal things to us. This is Jesus making known to us God stuff. Things since the creation of the world, things before this world even existed that were in the mind and the plan of God. And these stories, which may just seem like farming stories to us about wheat and weeds, are Jesus revealing things to us that we would not know unless he told us. And what's he revealing? Well, have a look at verse 24 again. Because there it says, the kingdom of heaven is like. Three times Jesus says this. Verse 24, verse 31, you'll see it again in verse 33. Jesus is telling us what it's like to be one of his followers. He is telling us what you can expect of God doing his work in the world, both now and in the future. And whilst he's addressing the crowds, everyone listening in, what he's particularly doing for disciples in this story is he's serving them up that spiritual Weetabix to give us that spiritual advantage for the day ahead. When he knows the kind of life we'll face. He knows the kind of experience that we'll have every day. And if I could sum it up like this, here's what Jesus is serving us up this morning, and then we'll work through it. Jesus is saying this to disciples especially. He says, patiently endure the present, knowing that the harvest is coming. Patiently endure the present, knowing that the harvest is coming. And all I want to do briefly is to work through those two parts of that, okay? So first of all, Jesus is saying, patiently endure the present. What is the present experience of belonging to the kingdom of heaven? What can I expect? What can you expect from following the Lord Jesus today as you head out into this week? If you're a follower of him, what can you expect? Well, let's dive into the story and let's find out. Verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Jesus tells a story, it's a simple story, about wheat and weeds growing together in the same field. And remember that this story has a meaning below the surface. It has a meaning that if you dig a bit, you begin to understand what Jesus is describing about being a follower of Jesus. And so let's flick over, because the disciples, you see, they come back to Jesus later and they say, Jesus, what does that mean? What is the meaning below the surface? So let's look at verse 37, because they've come to him and Jesus explains. He says this, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. So here you go. You're given all the components for this story. And this story tells us that what is the present experience? Well, first of all, it tells us something that Jesus is up to in this world. Jesus, the Son of Man, the sower, is the one who is wonderfully at work sowing seed in this world. Now, unlike the story we had last week, the seed here is not the gospel. The seed, what does it say in verse 38? The seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus is taking people by his good work, people like us who have turned away from God, and he's bringing us back to God, and he's planting us as good seed in the field of this world. All over the world, Jesus is potting people into the places where we live as those who are his people. People who have come to him, who are seeking help from him, forgiveness from him, eternal life from him. And all over the world, a spiritual work is going on, that the wheat is growing, it's forming ears, it's sprouting. Jesus is doing a good work. Jesus is bringing people into his family. See, look at verse 43 at the end there. He uses this little phrase, the kingdom of their father. The people that Jesus is potting are people he's adopting into heaven's family, where we can call God Father, the Creator, Father. Isn't that amazing? But this good work of Jesus is going on alongside another work. That the good seed that Jesus is planting in the world is growing alongside weeds. Now, uncomfortable as this may be to hear this, the weeds are not the people of the kingdom. They are the people of the evil one. So look at verse 38 again. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. Now, weeds in this story represent kind of a spectrum of people, but really just one category. They are people and the way that they respond to Jesus. Because that's what this whole section is about. How do you respond to Jesus? And so the weeds in this story represent those who oppose Jesus, either passively or actively. It's those who refuse to act on what he says, who refuse to come to him, and instead they reject him. It represents all the outworking of that we see in our world. You know, we're not as bad as we could be, we might think, but we do see a lot of evil in our world as a fruit of people walking away from God. And it represents those who are hostile to Jesus and his disciples. And what is the present experience then? What's this story that Jesus is telling us, revealing to us? Well, it's that both grow together. Both kingdoms are side by side. Look at verse 30. If you've got a Bible in front of you, look at verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. Friends, what is happening here is that Jesus is revealing to us that the current experience of being a believer is one where good and evil are side by side, where the good work that Jesus is doing is paralleled, is coexisting with the work that the devil is doing in our world. Now, let me ask you this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, doesn't that fit with your experience of following Jesus in an average week? Doesn't that fit with what it's actually like to follow Jesus in our world? The real kingdom of heaven coexists with people who don't want anything to do with the kingdom of heaven. The good work that Jesus is doing coexists with the evil work that the devil is doing. Now, if we think about that for a moment, what does that mean? What is the real present experience of following Jesus? Well, it means it's not going to be a very easy one. It's one where we can expect to encounter sin and the causes of sin in our world. It's one where we can expect people to be rejecting the message that seems so good and so joyful and so happy to us. It means we can expect people to mock Jesus and his cross and his resurrection. It means we can expect to see wicked and evil things going on in the world. It's one where we can expect people to persecute the church. Friends, Jesus serves up this story. He explains what to expect from the kingdom so that we're not discouraged and don't kind of defect on Jesus, as it were, because we can't understand the present experience of the kingdom. We're not put off. We're not deterred as we hear this story because we say, well, that's what Jesus said being a Christian would be like, that our lives grow together with the lives of those who don't want anything to do with Jesus. We won't doubt Jesus. We won't doubt the realness of his kingdom because it doesn't seem perhaps like the kingdom's that impressive, like it's having much of an impact in the world. See, Jesus serves up this story because he wants us to patiently endure the present experience of being a disciple, where our lives, as those who've been potted by Jesus in this world, live alongside those that reject Jesus, the evil that's going on in our world. Patiently endure the presence. Patiently endure the experience of following Jesus now. Don't be discouraged. Don't be deterred from Jesus. That's what he's revealing in this parable. Patiently endure. But well, how do we patiently endure? That's the question. Well, we patiently endure because of the second half of the sentence, because we know the harvest is coming. We know that there is a day coming that is going to put all that right. See, Jesus reveals something about the kingdom, not just now, not just the present experience, but he reveals something about the kingdom in the future. Look at verse 30 with me again. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. See, in the story, again, remember, here's a story. It's about harvest time. Lots of people would have got this at the time Jesus told this. But it's a story that has a meaning below the surface. He speaks about a harvest time. He speaks about a time coming up when things will be different, when good and evil won't coexist any longer. At harvest time, two things are going to happen according to the story. At harvest time, the weeds will be gathered up. They'll be bundled together. And they'll be burned. And the wheat will be gathered together and brought into the barn, the sower's barn. Now again, that's a story. We understand harvest. But what's the meaning below the surface? What is Jesus revealing? Well, let's go over to the explanation. Verse 40. The disciples have come to him. They're saying, what is it about Jesus? What are you telling us? Verse 40. As the weeds in my story are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now this is an uncomfortable truth, isn't it? It's one I never really enjoy preaching about because it's such a hard truth. But it's one that Jesus, as you read the Gospels, is razor sharp on. He doesn't shy away from. He says that there is a day coming, a harvest day, a day when he will come again. And all those who have rejected Jesus as Messiah, all those who've refused to come to him as the one that God sent into this world to bring us into his family, to forgive us, will be separated out from those who have accepted Jesus. And it speaks here of the language. If you look carefully at what Jesus says, it speaks here of a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is language Jesus often uses. And particularly this language of weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's this idea of regret. It's this idea of, I wish I'd acted while I'd had a chance. I wish I'd done the right thing when the moment was there. See, it speaks of a place of regret and turmoil. That's the eternal destiny of all who reject Jesus now. That's not a place you want to be, is it? That's not a place you want to end up. But left in the kingdom of this world, it says there, the kingdom, if you look at verse 43, will be the righteous. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who are the righteous? Who are those who will be left, who will be gathered up into the barn, as it were, of the Lord Jesus? Well, the righteous, and we have to be razor sharp on this as well, the righteous are not those who are better than others, who behaved better than others in this world. Now, as you read through the Gospels, you cannot escape that the righteous are those who have been made righteous by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by coming to him and saying, Jesus, I have rejected God, I have walked away from God, and I know I'm in the wrong, but please, would you put me right with God? Would you put me right with your Father? Would you bring me into the kingdom? It is those trusting in what Jesus did at the cross. We thought about that in our small groups this week, the great exchange, didn't we? That Jesus, in all his perfection, swapped places with us in our unrighteousness so that we might become part of the people of God. It's those who trust Jesus. That is the righteous. Not those who have behaved better in this life than others. And I want to say to you this morning, is that you? Would Jesus' story encompass you as one of the righteous? And it says here that the righteous will shine like the sun. Now, I think that's simply because when you get into the presence of God, when you get into the presence of a perfect and holy God, it's like we then begin to reflect and ooze out his glory and his beauty because we're in his presence forever. This is reflecting his majesty and the future. If you look at the future that we're waiting for, it says, verse 41, that the angels will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. This implies that the future we're looking forward to is one where there'll be no wickedness, no evil, even in our own hearts. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine waking up in a day and not having some sour thought or something wrong? Because that's where all the evil is generated, isn't it, from within? But all evil is going to be weeded out of the future kingdom. Isn't that a place you want to be? Isn't that something to look forward to? And that is the future of the kingdom of heaven. There's a now experience. The one we need to patiently endure. Why? Because there is a future experience of the kingdom of heaven. The two feel very different. That is why we can patiently endure. Because we know that the harvest is coming. We know that what our lives feel like now won't go on forever. We know that Jesus won't be opposed forever. We know that he won't let evil exist in our world forever. The harvest is coming. And so you see with this story about wheat and weeds, Jesus is serving up for us a spiritual Weetabix to give his followers, to give his disciples, to give those who've come to him spiritual strength, spiritual advantage that can get us through another day where our lives grow together with those who don't want anything to do with Jesus, where our lives are mingled in and growing together in a world where evil exists in our own hearts, but also in the world around us. He says, eat this story, consume this story, and it will remind us that we can patiently endure the present experience of the kingdom because we know that the harvest is coming. We know that there's a very different future experience of the kingdom. See, we understand if we eat this story and we take this on in the morning like your Weetabix, and if I remind myself of this in the morning, it reminds me because I understand that there is a now experience which is very different to the future experience. And that doesn't mean that the now experience is wrong, and it doesn't mean we have to doubt the future experience. There are two things, and Jesus says you've got to understand the time in which we live. And when we begin to understand that, it begins to give us that strength we need to endure another day. And so to those of us who follow Jesus this morning, here is your spiritual Weetabix. And to coin the phrase, have you had yours? Do you remind yourself of that truth every day? Because understanding that there's a kingdom now and there's a kingdom future will help us to endure our present experience of following Jesus. And I want to say to those of you perhaps here this morning that as yet don't follow Jesus or are just kind of investigating the Christian faith, then actually I want to say to you that this story can give you the Weetabix advantage too. It can give you strength to do something. See, this story reveals to us something about the future, something about God's plans. Remember that through these stories, Jesus is revealing things hidden since the foundation of the world, God things, things that if Jesus didn't say them, we wouldn't know them. And what he's telling us is something about the future that we'll all face. There is a harvest coming. There is an end of the age. And all I want to say to you this morning is that listen to this story of Jesus, because he's getting you to think carefully about the way you choose to respond to him today. On the harvest day, as you listen into this story, on the harvest day, will you be part of the wheat or will you be a part of the weeds? This whole portion of Matthew's gospel is really pushing us to think about the way that we respond to Jesus, the way that we react to what he says, to who he is. It's urging us to come to him. Will you do that? Some of you may not feel ready to do that this morning, but come speak to us. Come say, well, look, what does it mean to come to Jesus? But please don't leave it. You see, look at verse 36. What sets disciples apart? It's not that they were better behaved or had more understanding than anyone else. In verse 36, what set them apart is that they go to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we want to learn. We want to listen to you. We want you to teach us. And so will you do that this morning? Will you come and say, Jesus, I want to learn from you. Jesus, will you plant me as good seed? Will you plant me into your kingdom? I want to be one of your people. And so here it is. Jesus is spiritual Weetabix. I know there's only six of you who like it, but hopefully the six of you who eat Weetabix tomorrow morning will remember this sermon and say, I need my spiritual Weetabix today as well as my physical Weetabix. Because it's that story of Jesus that will give us the spiritual advantage as we face another day. And so to coin that phrase, have you had yours? Will you have yours as we enter another week as followers of our Lord Jesus? Let me lead us in a prayer and then we'll sing in response. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for these stories that the Lord Jesus told. We thank you that they reveal to us what to expect from your kingdom, both now and in the future. Thank you for the good work Jesus is continuing to do of planting people into your family and causing us to grow and bear fruit. Please, with knowing this story, help us to patiently endure the present experience of being one of your people as we wait for the harvest day to arrive. Please, would you add many more to your kingdom before that harvest day comes. And in Jesus' name we ask, amen. 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 Well, let's stand and let's sing together, shall we? Let's sing.